Hello and welcome everyone to Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri. I'm Chip Haley, your host, and we are so happy to have you alongside today. Let's get to it with this week's interview. And welcome everyone to Who's Who in the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri. I'm Chip Haley, your host, and we're sponsored by the Blind and Low Vision Community of Missouri, also the Blind of Central Missouri. I tell you folks, really looking forward to today's interview. I think you're really going to enjoy it. So let's get to it.
All right. Great to be here, Chip. Great to be here with you. I have my wife, Marilyn, here sitting. We're side by side at the kitchen table, and great to be with all of you. So what do you say we get this party started?
Okay. So we had a bit of a challenge getting connected, but we are connected, and we're ready to roll and get this interview going. So, all right. So we've got, as Roger mentioned, we have Roger Francis and his wife. And you said your wife's name is?
Her name is Marilyn.
Oh, okay.
Actually, it's Maria Lynn, M-A-R-Y-A-L-Y-N-N.
Ah.
But everybody calls her Marilyn, so.
Okay, all right. And so how long y'all been married?
We have been married for 13 years, and... 5 months. Thank you.
Okay.
My brain is trying to remember too many freaking numbers and everything. And, now I got Marilyn to help out. So.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you better get it right or you're going to be in big trouble, boy.
Yeah. She's pretty laid back.
Well, That's good. And where do you guys make your home?
We make our home in a little town called Versailles, Missouri, and that's spelled V-E-R-S-A-I-L-L-E-S. Now, the French pronounce it Versailles, but we hillbillies up here call it Versailles, so, you know.
And where is that located? I mean, tell me some other place that you guys are nearby.
We are near the Lake of we are the gateway to the Lake of the Ozarks.
Okay. Good. Yeah.
I grew up here in Versailles. My wife, Marilyn, is originally from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So tell me, Roger, how did you two meet? I mean, so far apart.
Well, actually, I was living in Nashville. I'm an entertainer. Once an entertainer, always an entertainer.
Uh-huh.
But I'm semi-retired right now, although I do play an occasional party once in a while, although I haven't this year. But we met on a showboat called the General Jackson Showboat, which is located at Opryland in Nashville, Tennessee. And we met, now I'm getting this date right, we met on the 13th of November in 2011. Actually, we didn't do a cruise that day because it was so windy. We were having Indian summer down there, and they had the option, all the passengers on this particular cruise had the option of seeing the show or waiting until the boat could go out. It went up and down the Cumberland River, and we did the cruise lasted for about an hour and a half, but we did like a 45-minute show. It was one of those cruises to where they did like a sit-down meal. And after the meal was done, the waitresses and help would clear the tables and everything, and our show would begin. I was a member of a group known as the Shotgun Red Band, which Shotgun Red was the Muppet character on the now defunct Nashville Network. And the creator of Shotgun Red was a man by the name of Steve Hall, who we lost in 2018 on the 29th of December. And but anyway, I digress. So anyway, we got done with the show and I was tearing down my stuff and this guy comes up to on stage, which happened to be her brother, Larry.
Okay.
And Larry told me, he said, well, I have a partially sighted sister. Would you like to meet her? And I said, yeah, sure. So he goes out and gets Marilyn and brings her up to the stage and we exchange our pleasantries and everything. And I don't know. I have no idea to this day what made me say this, because I don't do this to everybody that I meet. You know, I'm just not one of those people. I asked Marilyn, I said, now look, when you get home back to, she was living in Grand Rapids, Michigan at the time. But I told her, I said, when I gave her my number and I said, when you get home, call me and let me know you made it home okay. So it was about a couple of days later that I get a call from Marilyn. And I'm going to let Marilyn...
you go ahead.
Anyway, so we hook up and everything, and we got to talking. And we just kind of hit it off over the phone and everything. But we both had been divorced and widowed at the same, you know, we both had been divorced and widowed, and we decided that we both were going to take it slow, you know. So I'm going to let Marilyn jump in here now. So,
okay. All right.
Good afternoon, everybody. First, he didn't mention the fact that that my four brothers, David, Larry, James, and Michael, and their spouses, we all met for a little family get-together, and this cruise on the General Jackson, our sister-in-law, Judy Kelly, she arranged this cruise, the dinner and the show. I mean, out of all of the things we could have done in Nashville, if we hadn't done that show, Roger and I would have never met. So anyway, I got back home on a Tuesday and I called him and we've been talking ever since.
It kind of sounds like fate also may have had a hand in the both of you getting together.
Absolutely. And God.
Yes, yes.
We're just a real God thing.
Oh, yeah.
And we're both Christians, and it was just, you know, just what was meant to be.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. That's pretty exciting.
It was.
So you mentioned God. Do you both attend church somewhere?
We don't, because of health issues and everything.
Okay.
My wife, Marilyn, just became totally blind here about 3 years ago.
I see. Yeah.
With an eye infection. And I use a walker because I had a fall here about a year and a half ago, over a year and a half ago. And it just didn't seem feasible to try and go to church with both our walkers and everything. And we would have to have two people leading us in the church. And with me being with me having to use a walker and everything, it would just take up so much room, you know, in the aisles and everything.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
But we do, I listen to a particular program on Sunday mornings on public radio, and it's called, it's a station called WMOT. And the way you can get that is if you have an Amazon or an Alexa, you can tell either to play the station WMOT, and it'll say, "Welcome to Roots Radio." And there's an African-American on there, and he does black gospel music along with country gospel and traditional gospel and gospel bluegrass. And we both have Bibles, and we both have hymnals and everything. My wife doesn't sing, by the way. But anyway, that's how I kind of get in touch with God, other than praying.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing that station with us. I'm sure that some of our listeners will take advantage of that. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. I do want to go back to, you mentioned that you're an entertainer. So what kind of things do you do?
Actually, I play guitar, I sing, and I also do impersonations of country and rock artists and pop artists. I at the time I did like about in our show about I did about between 15 and 20 impersonations in the show.
Oh wow, that is terrific! Can you do a little demonstration of maybe one or two impersonations?
Yeah, you bet. Oh. We'll start out with the obvious, Willie.
Okay, sure. All right.
On the road again. I just can't wait to get on the road again.
All right, that's Willie Nelson.
Yeah, and then I do an impersonation of Neil Young for all you rockers out there. Uh-huh. You know who you are. Anyway, I wanna live. I wanna give. I've been a miner for a heart of gold.
Okay.
Feliciano, Charles, Feliciano, Ray Charles, James Taylor, Gordon Lightfoot, Jimmy Buffett, and a number of others. So,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, my. Oh, gosh, wow.
And the obvious, Ronnie Millsap. Had to do Millsap, you know.
Uh-huh. And so how long had you been an entertainer? I know you say you're retired now. How long were you an entertainer?
I've been an entertainer now for over 50 years.
Good. Yeah.
I had a band here in the Ozarks with my three brothers. We played a lot of the resorts on the Lake of the Ozarks in the early 70s, and then I left home in 76 because for one thing, my youngest brother was only 16 at the time, and then my two older brothers, their wives didn't want them playing on the weekends, you know. But anyway I went out to Topeka, Kansas. I went to the Rehabilitation Center for the Blind, take a college prep course. But the college that I was going to try and go to, Southwest Baptist College in Bolivar, Missouri.
Yeah, I'm familiar with them. Yeah.
Right. They didn't have the wherewithal and the technology at the time to help me out. I was originally going to major in music and become a teacher.
Uh-huh.
And looking back on it now, I'm glad I didn't, you know. Uh-huh. And besides, when I left the rehabilitation center, I was told that I was not college material.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, well, okay, I've got a guitar, I've got a voice. That's all I need.
Yeah.
And I pretty much, And so I stayed in Topeka. I went. I was a little hole in the wall tavern, which was right across the street from the rehab center, and I was having a beer. Uh-huh. And it was the, what was it, 20th of February of 1976. And I just happened to make the comment, God, I wish there was a place around here in Topeka where a guy could make money playing music. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. There was a guy by the name of Tim McCoy who told me about a little club called the Venetian Club, which was across town. And so I went back to the rehab center, got my guitar. We went to the Venetian Club. I went and auditioned. And within 15 minutes, I had a job to play on the 23rd of January, 1976. And that was the start of my solo career.
You know, Roger, I got to be honest with you. I got to tell you, man, I don't know how old you are, but your memory, the fact that you can remember all that stuff, the dates, the places, all that stuff, that's pretty remarkable. You've got an excellent, outstanding memory.
Thank you.
You have a photographic memory.
I turned 72 in October. I'll be 73 on the 12th of October.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for letting us know that. I'm currently 73 right now myself, and I'll turn 74 on December 14th. So we're not too far apart.
Right. All right.
I want to go back. You said that, you know, there where you were born, raised, and so you went to school there, high school. Did you ever, you didn't attend college anywhere, or did you?
I did not attend college. I went for, like, you know, college prep or what, you know, in Bolivar. But yeah. I got to go back even further. I went to school at the Missouri School for the Blind in St. Louis.
Okay.
I don't know if MSB is still in existence.
It is.
All right. I haven't been back there in over 50 years. The reason I haven't been back is because of, well, two things, scheduling. And I really, believe it or not, if you can believe this, I really was not one of the most popular kids in school. In fact, I pretty much knew what I wanted to do at an early age. And a lot of the kids there at school took it as me being conceited. And so we had our little Missouri School for the Blind band and all that. And I did choir and band and everything. I played the alto sax in the band and hated every minute of it. And I taught my band director. I taught him how to play guitar, and we developed a stage band. And so I never had to play alto sax again. I was able to go back to the instrument that I loved playing, and that was the guitar. And I have to go back even further. Excuse me. My grandmother taught me my first chords on the guitar when I was 10 years old. And I'll never forget this other date as long as I live. It was just on the 24th of August, 1964, we were living in Columbia, Missouri. My father, who has now passed away, both my parents have passed away. My father brought home a little silver tone guitar, and that was my first guitar. And that's pretty much how I got started.
Okay. All right. So after you graduated high school, did you go to work anywhere, or what did you do?
I went to the Rehabilitation Center for the Blind to take a college prep course, and they decided I wasn't college material. So the day after I left the Rehabilitation Center in Topeka on the 23rd of January, I played my first job at the Venetian Club.
Okay.
And
Do either one of you, Roger or Marilyn, do you have any siblings?
Yes, we both have siblings. I have three brothers and three sisters. I have a brother who is older than I am. He just turned 75 on the 16th of August. Then I'm next. And then I have a brother, Jerry, who turned 70 in March. And then I have a sister, Kathy, who turned 69 in March. And I have another sister, Julie, who is 68. Then I have a brother, Dave, who is 66. And then my youngest sister just turned 61 on the 18th of August.
Okay, yeah. And what,
92.
yeah, and what about Marilyn?
Okay. You go ahead, Dave.
I had five brothers, and my oldest brother's name was David, and he's since passed away. I have a brother named Larry who lives in Normandy, Tennessee, and he is still living. My brother Jim, he's deceased. My brother Mike is deceased. And then I'm in the pecking order. I'm next to the youngest. Then I have a half brother named Alvin, and he is deceased. So it's just my brother Larry and myself with all that's left of our siblings.
Okay. All right. Sure. Okay.
So.
Okay. So, Roger, back to you. Are you and Marilyn the only one in your families that have a visual impairment?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, then, like you said, after leaving the School for the Blind there in Topeka, you got a gig. You was able to play, do performance, and so have you not done anything else other than being an entertainer?
That's it.
Okay.
Oh. Well, I did work at the Association for the Blind in Kansas City, which is now Alpha Point. And I did piece work, putting ink pens together and
Right,
everything.
right.
And I had a little bit of a slowdown in my work. So I decided to do the Dolly Parton thing, work 9 to 5, or actually, it was 8 to 4, actually, is what it was. And he was bored. I
Yeah.
was. At the time, though, I was kind of burning both candles. I was burning the candle at both ends. I was playing a job in Kansas City called the Stadium Inn. There's a hotel called the Stadium Inn, and my sister got me in there. And I did that. I played the Stadium Inn for about a year and a half. And I've been all over excuse me. I've been all over the United States. I've been halfway around the world. I played Guam and Saipan. I played in Canada. I've played in Alaska. There's several states I haven't played. I played up in Minnesota for quite a while. As a matter of fact, my oldest daughter was born in Brainerd, Minnesota in 1989. And then my son, Sean, actually, my daughter's name is Brittany. My son, Sean, was born in Nashville in 1991 on the 23rd of July. Brittany's birthday is the 22nd of October. Both my children are in Minnesota right now.
And do they have children? Are they married and have children?
Well, if you want to call it
Okay, all right, okay.
that.
I understand. So let me go over to Marilyn, because that was going to be my next question, Roger. From your previous marriages, Did you have any children come out of those marriages? How about you, Marilyn? Any children?
No, I decided when, well, I was married and widowed at 30, and no, I decided with my vision being as low as it was, I decided I wasn't parent material.
Okay, yeah, sure, I understand. Did you, after you graduated high school, did you go to work anywhere? What kind of work have you done?
I attended the School for the Blind in St. Augustine, Florida, which at that I went when I was 12, and went to that school for 5 years until I graduated at 18. I went into the vending stand program, and I worked in that for a few years. And then, of course, when my husband died, and it was just a difficult time.
Yeah.
So, but no, just no. Then I got back into the BEP or the vending stand program in Michigan, and I married again, and that husband was a vending stand operator, and I worked with him for him for about 10 years. And then he retired, then I retired, and then we divorced. And then I was divorced for, 5 years, and then I met Roger.
Yeah,
So.
okay. All right. Well, before I go back to Roger, I think Roger mentioned to me that the cause of your vision loss is macular degeneration. Is that correct? Or what was the actual cause of your vision loss?
The actual Roger and I were both born premature. We're ROP babies.
Okay.
And Roger has no vision, but he's got the most beautiful blue eyes. There's
Is
a
that right?
he's still
Okay.
missing, and but there's the he's got the most beautiful blue eyes.
Okay.
And I my vision was 20/400. I could cook, I could clean, I could bake, I knit, I still knit, but I probably could get some training to relearn those skills, but I haven't done it.
Right.
But yeah, I only weighed 1 pound and 9 ounces at birth. I was 3 months premature.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
52.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Interesting. And but growing up, I wasn't, except for going places and not driving and that kind of thing, I wasn't treated any differently than any other kid, you know.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I washed dishes, I hung up clothes, I vacuumed, mom didn't treat me any differently. I had, I did learn those home skills.
Yes.
So.
I'm glad you brought that up, Marilyn, because that was you're leading into my next question. And I was going to ask the both of you, how well have you both been able to function as someone that has a vision loss? And so you just mentioned your part, and we know that Roger was an entertainer. So it sounds like both of you have adopted really well to your vision loss and able to get on with life.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we have been so blessed. Roger did not tell you that he has fallen. He fractured his spine and
My left hip.
fractured his left hip. He was in the hospital, and they operated on him, and so he has a he's got metal in his hip and that kind of thing. And one of the things they found when he was in the hospital was his heart rate was too low. So he also has a pacemaker. And we don't want him to fall again. because he has a low iron, and when he does fall, if he cuts himself, he bleeds quite a lot. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, in February, we have a niece and her husband, and they lived around the corner from us. Well, to keep Roger, have somebody here in case he falls, our nephew moved in with us. And he's here to kind of help supervise Roger. In case he would fall, Joe would be here to help him. And we have a shower chair for Roger to use. And,
sure, yeah, yeah.
And we decided in about April or May that we needed to do something else. So our niece and her husband, and they had two teenage children, and the daughter went off to college in Kansas City on the 18th of August. And the son is a junior in high school, and he's playing football. Well, the upshot of it is Roger and I got a home loan, and we converted our basement into a small apartment for our niece and her family.
Awesome.
So we decided, you know, we weren't going to wait until we were at a crisis point, you know, and neither one of us wanted to go to a nursing home.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Our kids, I say our kids, you know, they cook for us. I still wash dishes and do laundry and
Putter
up as much as I can. But the kids are, you know, they cook for us, and they put in our orders for our Walmart shopping, and we'll go pick that up. And it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's got its issues where you're sharing space with other people who do things differently than you do, but overall it's a great situation for us.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. Thank you so much, Marilyn, for sharing that bit with us. Before Roger, you jump back in here, do you have an opportunity to spend much time or stay in contact with your kids?
I just talked to my daughter here. I forgot to tell Marilyn. I just talked to my daughter on Friday, back this past Friday, and we communicate. My son, however, well, he has had run-ins with the law. And I haven't talked to him in, oh gosh, 3 or 4 years. But there's no way to, you know, no way to get hold of him.
Sure. Yeah. And I take it that Marilyn has touched on it, that you guys, you know, you have people come and see and visit with you. And, know, so that, you know, that's really great. And the fact that you do have some folks that don't mind stepping in and helping you where they can, and, you know, make life a little bit more simpler or easier. So that's really great.
Yeah, it really is.
And, you know, their situation, you know, it's just good overall for everybody. They have animals. They have 4 cats and 2 dogs, but they stay in the basement. And because I don't want cats up here on our level. We have 3 bedrooms and a bath up here, and kitchen and eating area and a living room up here. And you know, I just prefer not to have the cats up here.
Yeah.
Nor
yeah.
the dogs.
Yeah.
Because
sure.
if you open the door and one of them would get out, you know, there's nobody here to go out and chase them.
Yeah.
It works out good, you know.
Yeah. How many dogs and cats you got?
Our kids have 2 dogs and 4 cats.
Okay. Yeah. Good,
but, they stay downstairs. Now, their basement, they've got a bathroom down there with a bathtub and, of course, a commode. And there's a sink down there, and they've got lots of storage, and they have two sleeping areas for when her daughter's home and, you know, on vacation from college. So, and then the their son, he's got a room up in the attic.
Okay, so. All right. That's okay, yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, I know that both of you have really, like I said, adapted very well to your vision loss. But I do want to ask you, Roger, you mentioned different services, different programs, like with Rehab Services for the Blind. You went to Missouri School for the Blind. What other services have you been able to reach out to and they be able to help you in Maryland and be able to provide or at least help provide some things, programs, whatever it might be, that would assist in doing the kind of things that maybe you need to be able to do being someone who is visually impaired? For example, you know, Missouri is a wonderful state. Not every state has what we have here in Missouri. For example, the blind pension, aid to the blind, those different kind of things.
Right.
We have Wolfner Library for the Blind. So those different kind of things. So have you been able to reach out and get services from other organizations or programs?
Actually, there's a gal that helped me get all of my musical manuals in Braille.
That's great.
I've got a 24-track studio in my home, which has been relocated to what once was our bedroom, which is the biggest bedroom in the house. So my studio is located in our former bedroom.
Okay,
so
yeah.
We sleep in separate rooms. It's not because we argue all the time. It's just a matter
yeah,
of As a matter of fact, my wife is, she's one of the most laid back people I've ever known. But you don't want to cross her though. Yeah.
You know that by experience, do you?
yeah. You know, but I won't go into that.
Okay, all right. Well, you mentioned Braille. So are you an avid Braille reader, or where are you at with your Braille?
Oh, yeah. I've been reading Braille ever since I was a kid.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's great, yeah. How about you, Marilyn? Have you been able to take advantage of some of the services and programs for the blind here in Missouri?
Yes, I am. I'm a very strong advocate for Wolfner. It's one of the best library services I've ever used.
And I'm
on Bard, and which is the Braille and audio download. Anyway, and I have the new D2 player. And, I've got something like 74 titles downloaded on my wish list and on my bookshelf.
Wow. Wow. That's a lot.
I often will sit here in the kitchen and I'll listen to a story and I will knit. I have a craft group. We meet the first Friday of every month. And I have a beautiful, wonderful Mennonite friend who picks me up, and we go to the craft group and then we go to lunch.
And
then Barb and I, for a small boat, small town like Versailles, we have a gourmet coffee shop. It's called Gathering Grounds. And will usually go in there once a month and get a latte.
Yeah.
And so I do get out some. And but neither one of us mind being home people either.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Well, you've mentioned Bard, Braille Audio Reading Download. They have got, I don't know, they've got to have at least 200,000 books that you can select from. Plus, they've got music. And the technology today for those of us that are blind, visually impaired is really, really amazing what you can do with today's modern technology. I mean, 10 years, 20 years ago, we didn't have all this wonderful, awesome technology. And it really enhances our lifestyle that we can do so much more today than what we were not able to do 10, 15, 20 years ago. And from what you're saying, the both of you have been able to take advantage of some of that technology. What other types of technology do the both of you use that help you in your daily life?
As I said before, we have the Amazon and we also have the Alexa, and those are I would recommend every blind person in the United States of America. Every blind person should have an Alexa or an Amazon.
Oh, I agree. I agree.
And it really doesn't take that much. You know, now you'll need some sighted help as far as getting download, you know, getting it set up and everything. Although I know a guy in St. Louis who he's also totally blind. And I went to school with him, and I don't know how he does it, but he pretty much he's a whiz when it comes to blind technology and everything. And he has set up his own.
Right.
Amazon.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We use it a lot. We can tune into our any church services we want to locally.
Right. Right.
Our local news, if we want to hear the, our local news, any kind of music. If I want to hear Patsy Cline, for instance, I'll tell AM to play Patsy Cline.
Right.
And pretty much anybody you want to.
If you could think of it, Alexa will play it.
That's right. You know, well, I got some really great news for the both of you. You're going to be able to hear this podcast on your Echo device. All you have to do is just say the wake word, play the latest episode of Who's Who in the blind and low vision community on Apple Podcast, and it'll start playing. So both of you will be able to hear it on your Echo device. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes. And when will that be?
That will be available early next week.
Okay, great.
Early next week. Yes.
All right.
I just released a podcast yesterday. No, it was this morning. I'm sorry. It was this morning. I did the interview yesterday and I released it today. So the both of yours will be coming out early next week, probably Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, but probably Tuesday, next Tuesday. So you'll be able to use your Lady A or whatever the wake word is for your device and be able to listen to this podcast.
All right. And what is that again?
It's going to be, all you have to do is just simply speak the wake word to play Who's Who in the blind and low vision community of Missouri on Apple Podcast. I know that sounds kind of long, but
hey, if you could leave that on my voice now.
I will do that. I would be happy to do that. Yes.
My brain's fried, right?
Yeah.
I have a smartphone, but my niece has it set up for just voice commands.
Yes.
So I can't push any of the, the buttons on it.
Right. Yeah.
But I have I probably have 30 different phone numbers on there, and I can say, call so-and-so.
Right, yes.
And he will call them.
Uh-huh.
So I do have that technology.
Yeah, well, and that's awesome.
I could do with it, but I don't. One of these days when our niece is free, she has a full-time job, and she'll get home about 4:30, depending on what's going on with her job. And she'll come upstairs and we'll have dinner, and then she'll go down and play with her animals and take a bath, and she'll crash pretty early. So
let me also ask you, Marilyn, have either you or Roger done anything that you have felt like you really needed to make your living space adaptable? Well, you mentioned the shower chair, but for example, do you have any markings, say, for example, on a microwave or something like that, where it's easy for you to identify the timer or whatever it is on a microwave, or anything else that would help you or Roger be able to access different features within your home?
We have a talking microwave.
Ah, okay. All right. There you go. Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah. I used to have one, but I haven't had one in years. I can pretty well manage. I figure if I push enough buttons on my microwave, I'm going to get it to work. But it sometimes takes me a bit to push the right button to get it to come on or whatever. So, yeah, well, I think that's awesome. You've got technology in your home to make things a little bit more accessible for you. That's really great. I know that you can really appreciate that.
And our nephew put a tape strip going from, how can I explain it? Our house is kind of in a circle. We have a set of steps in the middle of the house that go downstairs. And then on the reverse backside, we have stairs that go up to the attic. And our rooms are kind of off of the center, like a wagon wheel. There's our bathroom, our laundry room and storage, my bedroom, Joe's bedroom, Roger's bedroom, and then the opening from Roger's bedroom goes into the living room, and then from our kitchen you go around a corner and you're in the hallway to access those rooms around the center.
Yeah.
And our nephew put tape on the one wall, so I can follow the tape around to get to the rooms that I want to access. So, and then we have a it's called a pen friend, and got it through the Association for the Blind.
Yeah,
and there's stickers with it, and you can put stickers on your food. And then somebody can say macaroni and cheese.
Yes,
or
yes.
Whatever. And,
right.
We use that.
Right. So it helps you to identify food items or whatever.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Roger, I want to go back to you. You mentioned your studio. Do you have any of your shows that you've done either on, I don't know if you'd have them on cassette tape, but in a format that you sell or distribute, or that people can maybe listen to one of your shows?
Actually, if you go to shotgunred.com, that's all one word, shotgunred.com. You can go there and you can find. Now we have a DVD of a show that we did on the General Jackson, which was done on the 22nd of October in 2010. And the reason I remember that is because that happened to have been my daughter's birthday.
Ah, okay, yeah. Did you ever perform in Branson?
Yes. In fact, I need to go back a little further than that. I was up in Pine River, Minnesota at the time, and there was a guy who was kind of being my agent at the time. I did some shows up in Canada with another agency. Then when I got back into the States, this guy that was working with me as doing an agency thing up in Minnesota asked me if I wanted to go to Brainerd, which is about 30 miles from Pine River, to meet the creator of Shotgun Red. So I got to meet the creator of Shotgun Red back in 1985. And I did a couple of benefits for him. And then in 1990, I got to hook up with him in June of that year. We played a theater there in Branson called the Stars of the Ozarks Theater. And that's how I, excuse me, that's how I hooked up with the creator of Shotgun Red. And that was, we did a lot of fair dates that year. We did a lot of, we went to Nashville and did some shows at the Grand Ole Opry House. In fact, I've been on the Grand Ole Opry. I also was on the Nashville Network several times, and which was pretty much how we got led to work on the General Jackson. And I worked on the General Jackson from 1991 to about the middle of 1998, or about the last of 1998, and decided I needed a change. So I left the boat and I went back up to Topeka to do a duel with one of my ex-wives. And we did that for about 2 years. And then we got divorced in 2003. I hooked up with Steve again in 2003, and then I was with him for the rest of his career. And we did a lot of fair dates, and we did our last 3 years from 2010 to 2013. We did the General Jackson again.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That sounds pretty cool. Well, let me ask you, Roger, would you be open if we could set something up, maybe like getting on Zoom here, maybe doing a show for the members, the blind and low vision community, and just let you have your way, and and a lot of the members get on Zoom with us, and you do a show. Would you be open to doing something like that?
That'd be a great idea. You know, I haven't thought of that.
Okay, yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna work on that, and we'll run it by Jeff, our president, and I'm sure he'll be open to it, and we'll get the word out, and we'll do everything we can, promote it, and we'll get on Zoom here and just let you have your way and just have a good old time.
Yeah, you bet. That sounds good. I'll save your message for that Zoom number.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah.
I'll do that, and because it took a little while. It took a little while for us to hook up, but we got it done.
So. Yeah, we sure did. We sure did, yes. Marilyn, let me ask you, how did you and Roger hear about the blind and low vision community? How did you guys get connected with us?
Oh, a lady by the name of Kamea, who is Marilyn's caseworker.
Uh-huh.
And
she told us about the group.
Ah, okay. Well, I tell you, I'm glad that you guys were able to make that connection. I mean, doing this interview this afternoon with the both of you has really been really what an opportunity that it's been for me. What a joy it's been for me to get to know both of you, and I'm
Likewise.
hoping to get to know you even more. So, but yeah, I'm just so happy and thrilled that you guys were able to make that connection.
Well, thank you. So are we. If there's ever a time when the when our when the group meets for lunch or something, if we can get a ride, we would love to come and meet Jeff and some of and you and some of the other members of our of the group.
You mentioned earlier, just a little bit ago, Marilyn, about Patsy Cline. So, were both of you fans of Dolly Parton?
Yes,
And so,
absolutely.
if you're like so many of us, we were really shocked. We knew that she was ill. We knew that she had some, health issues, but it was just so sad of her passing because she meant so much to so many of us, and it was just a tremendous loss.
As a matter of fact, I was talking. In fact, a friend of mine who's also visually impaired, he lives up in Des Moines, Iowa, and he was the one that he called me, and he was the one that told me about it. And my jaw just about dropped on the floor. We didn't even. Well, I had heard rumblings, but you know how the press is.
I tend to like a lot of the older country
Yes,
stars.
me too.
I don't care for a lot of the newer country.
Because when I was growing up at home, I was just a kid. That's all we listened to. My mama, she would play some gospel music from time to time, but she mainly played Jim Reeves and so many of the old ones, old timers and everything. And so those were the ones that I grew up listening to.
Well, I kind of had the best of both worlds. As I said earlier, I went to the Missouri School for the Blind in St. Louis, which exposed me to the St. Louis stations, and I got into what was then called rock and roll, which is now just rock music, and I was there when FM radio came into existence, and we had your rock FM stations, your underground stations, all that kind of thing. And they had what was called underground music and everything, and the Jimi Hendrixes, the Creams, the Vanilla Fudges, and Deep Purple, and go on and on. And there's a story that comes on to your Alexa or whatever, and it's at 1 o'clock.
What are you trying to say?
Nothing, shut up. We just told Alexa to shut up. There's at 1 o'clock on Saturdays, and it comes on again at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And they will pick a year in the 60s.
If you have
SiriusXM, which I recommend every blind person to have, it's only $150 a it's only $150 a year. And like I said, getting an Alexa or an Amazon or whatever device you want, that is the absolute best $400 you will ever spend.
I have we have XM in our car, and I have it on my phone. So you're right, Roger. It's really worth the money.
Absolutely. It is. And then I listen to Willie's Roadhouse.
And this 60s channel, they'll play anything from 1960 to, well, to 1969. And they'll play 40 songs. And the program will last about two and a half hours.
Yeah.
And some of that is really good.
Sure.
Old rock stuff.
And then I listen to the 70s channel from time to time. They have the American Top 40 shows on the 70s channel.
Uh-huh.
And then on the 80s channel, they have the big the video disc jockey, video jocks.
Uh-huh.
They do their 80s countdowns and whatever, and, uh-huh. and 90s and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's also an avid football. You can get that stuff on your ALEXA too.
Sure, and sure.
Football, basketball, you know.
Yeah, I'm into that. I'm into all that.
yeah, me too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But not college football. Now, I don't do college football, but I do college basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't do pro basketball because, to me, pro basketball, you know, ever since they had that big run in, oh, I can't remember. There was a player about 20 years ago that went into the stands and started attacking fans. And
right.
I just lost all respect for the NBA.
Right, yeah.
I've never listened to the NBA. And,
sure.
And I will not because of that.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I understand, yeah. Well, we don't have a whole lot of time here, but before I kick both of you loose and give you back the rest of your day, I would like to hear from both of you. Give me your thoughts, your wisdom. Is there anything that you would like to share in the way of encouragement or hope, or give something to our listeners? You know, blindness is always such a difficult time to accept and move forward with, and you know, to learn a lot of different skills or technology, whatever it might be. I really would like to hear from the both of you. Anything that you would like to share that you've experienced that has helped you along the way in your journey being someone with a visual impairment. So I tell you what, Marilyn, let's begin with you, and then we'll go over to Roger.
Oh, gosh. I guess for me, it's just try to maintain your positiveness. And be grateful for what people can help you do. I mean, you know, if you're going to be a grumpy grouch, then excuse me, you're not going to get the help that you need. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think prayer and faith.
Absolutely.
I think those are the two things that you need to have in order to live with a handicap such as blindness. Now, I've never really considered blindness as a handicap per se.
Uh-huh.
I consider it more of a nuisance rather than a handicap.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a nuisance, you know. There's so many things I miss, you know. I mean, I used to write out our checks and read, print our mail, and it's those silly little things that I miss. Being to look outdoors and see the green grass or, you know, and that kind of thing. But, you know, I keep telling myself, God has a purpose, you know.
Uh-huh, yes.
Maybe I'm to learn something from this. And, you know, if Roger and I can be positive and help other people, that's what we're here for.
Exactly.
You know, Roger, you mentioned prayer and faith. And I love that answer But you know, as many of these interviews that I've done over the years, and actually, even church members have never mentioned prayer and faith. They mention God and they mention some other stuff, but I really love the fact that you mentioned prayer and faith. I tell you, because that's what gets you moving forward. So thank you so much, Marilyn, Roger, for being my special guest here today on Who's Who. I got one last question that kind of closes this thing out, and that is, what kind of challenges have you had as someone with a visual impairment that you were able to meet head on and be able to overcome that challenge, whatever it might be, however big, however small, doesn't really matter. But I'd like to hear from the both of you on what a challenge you may have encountered and were able to conquer it, overcome it, defeat it, and be able to move on and be successful. So again, Marilyn, we'll start with you, and then we'll close it out with Roger.
Oh gosh, I don't know. Go to Roger. Let me think about it.
Okay. All right, Roger, go ahead.
Well, my thing is having people accept you for who you are.
Yes, that's a biggie.
Never mind the fact that you are visually impaired. If you're able to compete in a sighted world, if you will, that's half the battle.
Sure, yeah. I think we've all faced that in some shape or form,
Oh,
Roger. I really do.
sure. And we both grew up with all sighted siblings and sighted parents. And growing up for me, I mean, my mother was just a wonderful woman, and she, sis, you can do anything you want to do.
Yep.
And and when I have my blue days, I just say, Lord Jesus, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen. Amen.
And it is a challenge.
Yeah. You know, Roger and Marilyn, I've heard people tell me when I've asked that question, one of the things that they miss the most, which is really kind of unusual, a little bit anyway, one of the biggest things that they miss is not being able to drive. The fact that they're blind, they can no longer drive, they feel like they've lost their freedom. They can't just jump in their automobile at the spur of the moment, go wherever they want to go. That's now lost to them because of their blindness. But there are ways around it. You may have to get alternative transportation. You may not be able to go at the spur of the moment. But I have a guiding driver that takes me wherever, and I've traveled all over the state. In fact, all across the United States. Doing different things. In fact, I'll be going up to Jefferson City next week, and he's been my driver and guide for going all the way back to, I believe it was 2016. And he's just a great means for me, transportation. But he's more than just providing me with transportation, but he and I have become really good and close friends. And I would have never had that opportunity to have him as one of my closest friends had he not stepped into the picture and become my guide and driver. So, you know, there are ways to get around things. They may not be maybe exactly what you want, but, you know, there are ways to get around some of those different kind of challenges.
Well, in the different cities that I have lived at, which was Kalamazoo, Grand Rapids, and we were in Nashville for a while, they had great public transportation. They had like a ride share or go bus or whatever. And when I lived in Grand Rapids, you just had to call the day before to set up a ride. I'd go to my dentist, my doctor appointments. I'd go to a knitting shop, So, you know, that didn't hold me back at that time.
Yeah,
The grocery store, do my own shopping, you know, but, and we don't really have that available here in Versailles.
I tell you, Roger, Marilyn, again, thank you so much for your kindness. Thank you for graciously consenting to allow me to do this interview this afternoon. Boy, I tell you, this was in the record books, folks. I have just so thoroughly enjoyed doing this interview this afternoon. It's really been special, and I want to thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And I am going to hold you to it, Roger. We're going to make this thing happen where we're going to make do something where you can put on a show for us.
Okay, well, you know, it's not, and these days, it's not really a show per se. I'll just get out my guitar and I'll go into my studio. I'm in the process of getting my studio set up here, so I'll get all my stuff set up, and you can hear the whole nine yards.
Yeah. Well, whatever you want to call it, it doesn't matter to me, and I'm sure it doesn't really bother or matter to our listeners either, because we want to hear you perform. That's what we want to do, and have a good time doing it.
Oh, you bet.
Oh, he will.
Okay. Well, listen, Roger, Marilyn, enjoy the rest of your day, and God bless.
You
Thank
too.
You. Same to you. God bless
all righty. Bye-bye for now.
You bet.
Bye-bye.